Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Man, my name is Jason Clark. Welcome to the Bridge Church, and glad you're with us today. Beautiful day. These are the days that we live in the low country for. When you wake up and it's 110 degrees before 9 a.m. Gotta love it. I was telling him outside, I went running yesterday morning. I was around the house piddling around and walked outside probably 10:30 or 11. And I was like, man, goodness, it is hot. And but it is a beautiful place to live. And beautiful faces all around us this morning. So, you know, again, be thankful for what we are. Some of you may or not know, Daniel was driving through the night last night to make his way back from Tennessee. He said they got back in about 5-something this morning from a wedding. So we didn't put him on the spot and make him preach this morning, but it's all good. Oh, man. You know, I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm really glad to speak. We've been in Proverbs, and most of us are familiar with the word wisdom and associating it with Proverbs, right? Like, Proverbs is the book of wisdom. I have spent a fair portion here of my recent life in things called attributes or characteristics, right? Kind of living and dying, we're actually doing this thing where we're building avatars. And I don't mean like the avatar that you think that is flying through the air and fighting wars for us. Not that type of avatar. But if I go out and hire an employee for my company, what does the perfect employee look like that's out here in kind of imaginary space? And oftentimes what we know is we hire skill sets. Our model has nothing to do with skill sets. They're teachable. But attributes and characteristics of a human being are what we find important, right? So does the individual have empathy? Do they show love? Do they have mercy? Do they have grace? All these little identifiers of the human being is what we look for, not necessarily can they turn a wrench, can they nail a nail. You can teach all that, and you can teach that fairly quickly. Characteristics of a human being are very hard to teach. Now, you can absolutely introduce them, but what it does show you is how important your environment is, right? Environment is what impacts characteristics of a human being, how they're raised, what kind of house are they brought up in. And what's interesting in Proverbs is, especially from a viewpoint of Solomon, is you see so much of Proverbs. First, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is often referred to as a woman. It takes a female personification. I can always equate that God has always amplified the woman, right? His bride, the church, right? There's always been an amplification and a beautification of the woman throughout biblical, the entire Bible itself. The other part of it is that wisdom itself through here is never defined by just a term of wisdom. What I would encourage you as you read Proverbs is you could go through Proverbs and highlight many words that are actually going to fall up underneath of wisdom to make an overall arching word of wisdom. And that's kind of what we're going to sit in today. I almost grabbed it before I came because we are never in a time where we are now where we search for knowledge, right? And we search for what most of us would consider wisdom. I was looking at my nightstand and I almost grabbed it before I went. I'm the king of just like, oh man, somebody said that book was good. Let me get that thing real quick, right? And I'm just ordering on Amazon. And next thing you know, my nightstand had two books because I pushed them to the library. And now I'm back up to a stack like this, you know, and I'm like, oh man. But I was looking at my list of books over there, right? It's just all things of knowledge, right? On leadership, on, you know, how to do better at this, right? How many books do we pick up? Like how to cure anxiety, how to cure depression, right? Like all these things all of knowledge that is just information overflow into the human brain, right? But at the end of the day, we equate that word knowledge often to wisdom, right? Is we put them on a parallel that if I said to you right now, give me three descriptions or write down your definition of wisdom, I bet knowledge would be in pretty much all of our definitions at some point. We would all say knowledge is wisdom. But if we read Proverbs through and through, from chapter 1 all the way to the end, we realize wisdom was never just knowledge according to God. It had many other adjectives associated with it. He uses the word discernment. Well, you say, well, how is discernment involved in wisdom? Because through wisdom, right, we need to discern whether this is going to be good or bad in my life. So this morning as we feed into it, I'm going to be in chapter 15 this morning. And on the screen, you're going to read out of NIV. But I am actually going to read out of the Message for part of it. What I wanted this was, I wanted you to be able to see NIV on the screen, but I don't always like to read out of the Message because sometimes I feel like it's a great version, but sometimes I just love the way the NIV or the King James says it. But the Message does a great job in putting it in words we all can comprehend and understand, right? Part of knowledge, part of it. But what I wanted us to do this morning was I wanted us to start on the same even playing field. And that is, before we open up the word and dive into chapter 15, I want us to be on an even keel. A few of it will be internal questions you can answer to yourself. Some of it will be external cues that I'm going to prompt you on it. But the first thing I'm going to start with is, what is the actual definition of wisdom, right? If we open up the dictionary, what does it say wisdom is? It is the quality of having experience, knowledge, good judgment, being wise. That is what you would read. So automatically, right, even from the dictionary, it's going to tell you that if you're a wise human being, you have experience, you have knowledge, you have good judgment. That is the quality of being wise. And then it moves into the next part, which is here is wise as a verb, right? The soundness of action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment, right? So starting on the even keel here, we say that being wise is not just one bucket, right? It is not a singular term. In my world of kind of what I was just opening up to with creating an avatar, I could not put wise as a descriptor of somebody we were looking to hire because there's too many sub-adjectives that are associated to point up to wise. I would have to say we want experience, we want knowledge, we want good judgment. Over-encompassing, we want a wise individual. The biggest part here that I think is overlooked when it comes to wisdom is experience, right? Because experience is often, the only way you can have experience is maturity, is just age, right? Like oftentimes or not, a 38-year-old like myself, hard to believe I know, but I am 38-year-old like myself, is much wiser than an 18-year-old version of myself based upon experiences alone. But we have heard the phrase, right? Like, oh, they are wise beyond their years, right? They are wise beyond their years. And I do believe that people mature at different rates. But what I do know, though, is that even the ones that matured, experiences are often not direct, often can be indirect. So you've got the observer in life who realizes, like, that's not good if I do it. So they quickly learn, don't do that. But then you got the other one who saw that's not good. 24 hours later, they're walking the same path, expecting a different outcome. And they learn, man, that really wasn't good, right? So their wisdom track, becoming wise, is a little bit slower than that one to kind of just grasp it right away. So there is to say that we can definitely age in maturity at different rates, but there's also, we can become wise in different rates, right? And it's oftentimes, even as Proverbs is spoken a lot from father to son perspectives. Many Proverbs begin from father to son. The overarching compass to grasp before we come into Proverbs this morning is to realize your impact on an individual's wisdom. For most of us, that's our children. But for others of us, it's our employees, especially if you have young employees, to realize they are still learning from you. Right? You are help shaping what is called, and we'll come back into it, their worldview, right? And again, this is to put even the playing field here. So to realize that from that mentor aspect, right, or parental aspect, that those that are looking up to you, you are helping shape how wise they become. You are help shaping their worldview, which will become how they interpret and how wise they become. So if you lead people astray, you can pretty much guarantee some of them are going to go astray. And that is based upon what they learn. Kind of like we take it back to the very beginning. Attributes and characteristics, just like what is needed to find wise human beings, is often found in their upbringing, right? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Is a very true statement. More than likely, I mean, we do it with our children all the time. They all split our personalities. It's like Joshua this morning, our youngest one. We woke him up out of bed. And it was like waking up a grizzly bear, right? Like, but where does that come from? Sometimes you have to look around wondering where it comes from, right? But all of these things feed into each other, and it feeds into the overall encompassing of wisdom. And so I want you to look at it as this total package, right? The things we talked about, experience, knowledge, good judgment, their worldview, becoming wise over time. Because we often, right, we have to figure out how to live this life in a wise fashion, right? How to be wise within the world. And oftentimes we spend so much of our time, and often it's pretty much the information overflow of knowledge that we attain, trying to control the uncontrollable. Right? And we confuse what that looks like as far as how we use this wisdom that God has gifted us with. Right? We often spend it in a negative rhetoric, complaining things. I was telling Chrissy, I was like, oh, we walk outside, it's raining. My goodness, right? Like, we just, how much oxygen did you just waste to state the obvious that it's raining? And you're not going to change that it's raining, right? That is not in your wheelhouse. And then you walk outside and you go to your car, no umbrella, and you get soaking wet and you go, it's raining and I just got wet and I have to, right? So, okay. Experience, right? We just learned something, hopefully, through experience, okay? Knowledge, I knew it was raining and I observed that, okay? And then I've got this good judgment bucket. Don't forget we brought up that. And then I say, well, okay, so as a wise human being, you would grab an umbrella, walk outside, and go to your car and get in the vehicle and realize, wow, I just made it to my vehicle and I'm not wet, right? It's raining. Oh, well, I've got to go. And we go, right? This is where we see wisdom. Such a small example, but we can attain it into our lives. How many times have we literally, we could have walked into the wall and got the same result as what we just attempted and we knew better. But for some reason, we needed the experience. And to me, this is what Proverbs gets at, is that God's call for us in wisdom in our life, it starts with reading his word to shape our worldview so that we can grasp a maturity in wisdom much quicker so that we don't hurt ourselves or others around us based upon decision-making, based upon the way we lead, based upon things we do, right? Because what at the end of the day, you know, this isn't to give it the words are slipping my mind where people say it's the optimistic view of the Bible all the time, and it'll come back to me. God's word is your best life. 100% will be your best life. You live this out, it will be your best life. Something as simple as telling a lie, right? We've all been there and done that. Telling a lie. In the right there, the judgment sits, don't tell the truth because you're going to get in trouble. And you say, whoop, best life, don't get in trouble, right? Ding, 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 I lie. I'm good. And then the individual you lied to found out you lied to him, and what was probably would have been momentarily just a bleep in time to get through is now drawn out because now you, I don't trust you. I don't believe what you're ever going to tell me again, right? And this is what it digs into, right, is to help shape that, help prevent that, right? Like, just tell the truth, right? Thou shalt not lie. Sounds pretty familiar. Somewhere in the Bible, I'm pretty sure I've read it, right? It's not a rule to say you must follow this. It's simply, it is truly living your best life that God has ordained for you. Now, how that takes, it could be raining outside. It's still your best life. It's still your best life. There may be a cloud in your life right now that you're working through. It's still your best life if you live it out this way. But you can 100% guarantee it will not be that best life if you live it your own way, right? And that's where being wise comes into play here. So what I wanted to do is starting us right here, is to get our mind before we open up the Bible, just to kind of start thinking this. We talked about the buckets, right? Having experience, knowledge, good judgment. And we talked about, that making upwards into the word wise, but I wanted to start you with a few questions, and at the end of the sermon, I'm gonna come back to them and close it out off of it. But question number one, and these are for you to think about: do you control who you allow to impact your overall wisdom in life? Point blank and simple: do you control who's feeding into your life, who's feeding into your worldview? Who's giving you your do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs, right? Who's telling you it's okay? That's not a big deal. Or who's holding you accountable in life? Because oftentimes we love the individual, right, who will tell us that sounds good. But we despise the individual who tells us that's not okay. One of the greatest mentors in my life ever told me probably the most truest statement that is the most true. We always hear, tune out the haters, tune out the haters. right? When they tell you, tune them out, tune them out. But then that same individual will give you praise and you'll turn it up, right? Because you want to hear it. You want to hear how good you are. You don't want to hear how bad you are, right? So who's impacting your life when it comes to regards to wisdom, to helping you understand a worldview and attach to it? Are you struggling in an area of this, right? Are we struggling in an area of how do I actually become wise in my ways? How do I become wise? And we take it back to the buckets in the very beginning. Are we struggling in one of the buckets, right? Like, is it knowledge? Is my worldview off, right? Am I being curved into in a direction I shouldn't be? And then I also want you to understand worldview, right? That's going to shape how you view the world. What is right? What is wrong? Should I do this? Should I not do this? How do I view it all? And at the end of it, we're just going to close it up with the best life. But opening up Proverbs this morning right here, I want you to go to chapter 15. Again, on the screen is going to be in the NIV because I want you to be able to see it on the screen. But I'm 100% going to read out of the message. The other side of this, I don't do this very often, but I felt that it was warranted today. I'm actually going to preach line by line, verse by verse, take you back old school a little ways. So we're going to sit in each verse, because I believe each verse just gives us a point of being wise in life. And we open it up here in verse 1, and it's funny because I literally was going through multiple versions of the Bible, just seeing how they all read. But I'm going to read a couple at a time, and we'll come back through it. We started verse 1 right here. It says, "A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Knowledge flows," verse 2, "like spring water from the wise. Fools are leaky faucets, dripping nonsense." Verse 3, "God doesn't miss a thing. He's alert to good and evil alike. We go back to verse 1, right? And it says, "A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire." If anything I want you to understand today, please hear me, and I promise you this will ring true every day of your life. Hate will never win against hate. Hate will never win against hate. And my goodness, if we're not in a time frame where we don't believe, a good portion of the world believes hate will win against hate. That when they do it to me, or if they say it to me that way, I'm going to one-up them on this side, because I'm going to tell them what I think of. My wife and I literally were having this conversation in the church this morning. I said, I can handle a lot of things, but when they do it this certain way, and she's like, it's your ego. You know, and I'm like, you right. You know, it's my ego. and again, though, but hate can't win against hate, right? It takes two people to have an argument, right? When something happens, it takes two people to have an argument. And what God is telling us right here, a gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue will kindle a fire, right? When the person comes at you all the time, and I tell you, those of you that aren't married, newly married, been working along the streets, let me go ahead. One of you better be the gentle response that diffuses anger, because if not, you're going to have a bunch of sharp fires in your house, right? But it's always tone and reflection. It's a gentle tongue. It takes somebody to soothe the situation. I always say it, the two different responses of, you know, if I wanted my son right there to say, come here, and I'm not going to yell in the microphone, but I say, come here, right? It's direct. It's harsh. I said, hey, come here. Wow. What did tone just do? Tone just set the tone for the entire part. Thousands of years later, God was not wrong right here. A gentle response will diffuse anger. And I'm going to say it over and over again, because to me, this is one of the biggest issues we have in the world right now. Everybody wants to be the next one to drive their point home. And sometimes your only point is to be silent and allow them to speak through, right? Because noise in an empty room is just noise in an empty room. And that's what that room will become as long as it continues to go anger to anger, anger to anger. I'm going to prove I'm right. Verse 2, he says, knowledge flows like the spring from the wise. Fools are leaky, faucet, dripping nonsense, right? The tongue is a weapon. It will make people bleed. And it's your weapon. And it's so easy just to use it, right? And this is where we talk about being wise. That when you get hit with that sharp mark, do you fire it right back, right? Just start launching the bullets right out. Start cutting them deep. I'm going to let them know who's up, right? That's a fool. God calls you. You're a fool. A leaky faucet, right? Who just runs their mouth, not realizing what you're doing to that person, right? And I would tell you, you know, this it goes right into the lines, right? Like, I didn't want to rabbit hole this, and I'm going to get back on track, I promise you. But, you know, it's like when we talk about abuse, right? We know they were beat, right? Like, oh, you know, man, that is awful. Or God forbid, like sexual abuse. Verbal abuse is real. You can beat someone with your tongue to a point of submission in life, right? And as, again, remember, we talked about, like, the reverence that God has put here as this overarching father figure as we give others knowledge and wisdom. Are you beating them into submission with your tongue? Right? Or are you picking them up and loving them? Right? And again, it's a choice to be made. Voice 3, God doesn't miss a thing. He's alert to good and evil alike. God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. It is point blank and simple. The gospel is built upon that God is all-knowing in our lives. And it's not... To fear God is to not hide behind a rock. To fear God is to love God, right? It is a oxymoron statement that I'm going to say right there, but 100%, to fear God is to love God. It's not to say something and be like, oh, man, and then go hide from God. No, it's to love God in our ways, right? I'm fearful of you because I know you're all-knowing, and we will all be held accountable for our actions, whoever we are and whatever we've done. It's the love of God that we want to see, the love of the gospel move throughout. As we go to verse 4, kind words heal and help, cutting words wound and maim. Verse 5, morale dropouts won't listen to their elders. Welcoming correction is a mark of good sense. Verse 6, the lives of God-loyal people flourish. A misspent life is soon bankrupt. As we sit right there, right? And it's, you know, there's so many different versions right here. And that's why I love just introducing them all, because I don't think you can go wrong with God's word here in a few different versions. And I'm even read it from a different way. A wholesome tongue, verse 4, is a tree of life. But perseveres therein is a breach of the spirit. As we read earlier, kind words heal and help, cutting words wound and maim. As we continue to move through it, again, it's just the tongue, right? To realize your tongue, all these things are a gift. How you speak into people is a gift, right? How you speak into people's lives and move them from where they are to get them to where they need to go. And oftentimes, man, the church has historically set itself up to fail on that because it wants to judgmentally make sure they know everything that's wrong in their life, but missing the greatest message of all, which is, right, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, love your neighbor the same. That was the greatest message in the gospel, right? But man, if we've got a few things squared away, we love to tell everybody else where they don't. Right? I'm going to let you know. And man, just imagine, I always use it, when someone tells you 35 times how wrong you are terrible at this, you're still terrible. Nope, you're still doing that wrong. Man, I'm motivated to get better now, right? I'm excited. Wow, you are lifting my spirit. My God. And I just always try to remind myself, may I show a fraction of the grace God has showed me in my life. May I show a fraction of that grace to other human beings that are not where I'm at in my life. And maybe they aren't as wise as I am now, but they're going to get there, right? Because why? I use my tongue as a weapon for the gospel, not a weapon against the human life, as we move through it right here. And as we keep pushing through right here, we're going to pick it up at verse 7. It says, perceptive words spread knowledge. Fools are hollow. There's nothing to them. God can't stand Pioses poses, but he delights in genuine prayers. A life frittered away disgusts God. He loves those who run straight for the finish line. Verse 10, it's a school of hard knocks for those who leave God's path. It's probably one of my favorite verses in the message, because he got real right here, right? It's a school of hard knocks for those who leave God's path, a dead-end street for those who hate God's rules. And tying it all up into verse 10 where we are before we keep pushing right here, man, it's a school of hard knocks for those who leave God's path. Man, I could raise both of my hands and tell you, yep, amen. Promise you that's the truth. All right. But I can also tell you that I can raise both hands and say that God's grace and mercy, right, made me understand the school of hard knocks. And it made me not want to revisit the school of hard knocks. But I am human, so I'm going to visit it again. I promise you, somewhere down the line, I'm going to mess something up. But the biggest thing here, right, God's path, the wisdom from God's word, the wisdom from his life is designed, like I told you in the beginning, for your best life. Even though in appearance it may seem this is not what's best, but you're only snapshotting the story to where you want to see it. This moment in time is not fair. I don't have the job I want, the money I want, the car I want, the house I want. I don't have what I want. All I heard was what you want. That's all I heard. What you tell me what you want. But when you can open your life to be spun on a pivot and say, well, I'm going to go there. Yep, I'm going to be here. I'm going to tell you my golden rule, even though I got a kind of an asterisk to my golden rule, is pick my phone up. Right? If someone calls my phone, pick it up, because you never know what that phone call is for. But I do have a golden rule. If that number ain't saved in my phone, you're going to have to leave a voicemail, because I am not picking that up. Too many telemarketers these days. But I'll call you back right away. But I mean, this week alone, picking my phone up were two human beings that were in bad scenarios. And all they kept telling me was about their want, their situation. And I backtracked a couple layers to decision making that they made and asked them, what do you expect? It's gonna suck right now. It's not gonna be fun. But if you keep going down that road of decision side like that, it's gonna keep not being fun, right? It's like digging the hole. How far are you gonna dig it? You might hit a little section that keeps the sun off for you a little bit, and you're like, whoop, breather. But then the sun keeps moving, comes right back on you. Keep digging. Get out the hole, right? It's the wisdom that comes to it. Leaving God's path, anytime we make a decision, we realize we leave the path. We are off the path. Doesn't mean you can't get back on the path. Doesn't mean the path has left you astray and it does not care about you. Realize that's wisdom. I'm not on the path. I got to get back on. I got to make myself right here. Right? I got to get right. That's where worldview, we'll tie it back in the end, comes into so much play. Mentors in your life come into so much play. Your friends come into play right here. We're at verse 11. Even hell holds no secrets from God. Do you think he can't read human hearts? Woo! I always say probably the most amazing thing I'd ever like to see is our hearts to be put up on a white screen. All right, you talk about some accountability. Let me see what you're thinking about deep inside there. Really? Man, I didn't see that coming. You talk about a Lifetime movie. Woo! Right? The heart, the mind, and the soul, it connects itself. God knows your heart. You can't put up the blinder around the heart. It's not to say, oh my goodness, that means God knew about. Yup. But what it is to say, I've got to get right with that to realize it's just not what's best for me or what is good for my life right now. Verse 12, know-it-alls. Woo. Sorry. Know-it-alls like being told what to do. Don't like being told what to do. They avoid the company of wise men and women. That will be some of the hardest individuals you will ever impact in your Christian walk is the one that already knows it all. Right? And I will tell you, you'll never be tasked with loving someone so much harder than an individual like that too, because you see them running into the wall. They're about to hit it. And you're like, no, don't do it. Come on. I'm okay. Bam. I told you, right? Right? They don't want to hear it, man. But you know, the thing about know-it-alls, because I was one, I won't ask for personal opinion. I still got a decent amount of know-it-all in me. But the thing about a know-it-all is when they crash hard. Right? When you know it all and it all comes crashing down, it hurts. That's a long fall. That's a long fall when you realize you're not quite as good as you thought you were in life. A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. Verse 14, an intelligent person is always eager to take in more truth. Fools feed on fast food fads and fancies. My goodness, right there. Highlight, underline, cut that page out, put it in your pocket. An intelligent person is always eager to take in more truth. Fools feed on fast foods and fancies. That's the instant gratification feeling right there. You make me feel good right now, I'm in. And if you want to go to a line of descriptors underneath of that, we could go drugs, alcohol, sex. We could keep going down, right? Like, it makes me feel good right now. I am in. Numb my pain. Man, I feel good. I'm going to conquer the world, right? In my own path. Verse 15, a miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with song. I'm about to sing. Verse 16, a simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. Man, those two verses, right? Speak to your soul. A miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with song. I'll tell you before, I have an optimistic view of life. I'm no fool, don't get me wrong. Things are terrible sometimes. I get it. But you can't tell me it's a bad day right now. You are upright and breathing and have another chance. I was telling Mr. Dave outside last weekend in Tennessee was what's called the murder mile. Every 20 minutes, a mile starts. You have 20 minutes to accomplish the mile. There's 800 feet of vertical climb, and then it goes back down. The same man that won it again 2 years in a row now, a guy by the name of Chad Wright, a God-fearing man, former Navy SEAL, and he takes off every mile the same way. That's why he touches my heart, because he puts a dip of Copenhagen in before he takes off running. But with that, he was sitting down at mile 120, and they said, Chad, are you going to die out there? He said, you can't kill a man that's already got eternal life. That's what we're talking about here, right? Your heart does not have the room to be miserable. God has blessed us in our lives with too much. I can tell you, I've heard some incredible stories, to include some in this church. Mother's Day touched my soul when I was sitting up here hearing the stories. I haven't had to walk that life. I've never had to walk that life to feel what that would feel like as a mother. So I owe it to the respect and the love to love on them. But I can tell you, man, if you've been given another day to make a change or to make a change in this world, it's not a bad day. It is not a bad day. You take it back a few verses back. I'm going to read it again because it's my favorite. It's a school of hard knocks for those who leave God's path. That's where our days become bad, is when we're not on the path that we should be on. That's where our heart gets bad, because we say nothing is fair to me. It's not okay to me. Why me? Why me? Because we won't make the choices to get back to the path that we need to. A simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. My goodness, that's hard. That is hard, man, because we love nice things. We love to have stuff. 100% guilty. I've gone through my phases of, you know, nope, not buying nothing. You know, man, I'm going to wear a T-shirt. But again, look at my hypocritical status. I'm wearing nothing fancy, but I mean, I've got an Under Armour shirt on. I'm not hurting in life, right? But why do I need to spend, you know what I mean? Like, what's the headache for, man? Just come up here wearing some, you know, pants and shirt, call it a day. What does it matter, right? But if you pigeonhole that, it goes into so much more, right? You start getting into that whole keeping up with the Joneses, right? Because we take our eyes off the prize, which is God. We take our eyes off the path of him. And again, remember what we're talking about, wisdom, right? Wisdom. How many wise decisions are you making when you're basing your decision off of fads, fancies, and what's popular? Probably not very many. I'll go ahead and get ahead of that, right? There's a good guy out there. His name is Jesse Itzler. He's now part-time owner of the Atlanta Hawks. Cool story if you ever get a chance to look him up. My man wrote a song back in the 90s, somehow got on MTV singing a rap song, and then the New York Knicks bought the song. Now he's married to the woman who founded Spanx. But Jesse Itzler only owns five shirts and two pairs of pants. He said, this limits the amount of time I have to put into making a decision that means nothing for the greater good. And I said, man, I'm not on your level yet, but I agree. I am not on your level, but I agree. And again, it's just going right. The path, wisdom, be wise. Knowledge, right? He's absolutely right. How much worthless time do we spend making choices that mean nothing? Right? Do these shoes? I asked my wife this morning. I had on two pair of white shoes, and I said, I mean, literally, a different pair of white shoes. And I said, which one? Really? Come on, man. My goodness, right? But better a bread crust shared in love than a slab of prime rib served in hate. Whew! I'll tell you what, when the message was wrote, I feel like they were down south somewhere, eating, having some gospel food
on one of them 14-hour church services and just started writing God's word back out. Because my Lord, read it one more time right here. It says, better a bread crust shared in love than a slab of prime rib served in hate. My goodness. That don't touch your soul. I don't know what will. Now, I'm going to finish it right here. Hot tempers start fights. A calm, cool spirit keeps the peace. Hot tempers start fights. A calm, cool spirit keeps the peace. Everything in Proverbs is something that impacts your wisdom, your knowledge, right? Your experience. You're gaining maturity through it all. And the thing to keep in mind is as you read these things, they are there for us to feel something from them, right? Like, nah, my temper is fine. That's okay. Cool. What else you got going on, though, right? Is it a miserable heart? Are you the one that's Debbie Downer everywhere you go? Who are you lifting up with that, right? Whose life are you feeding into with that Debbie Downer attitude? It's just a reminder because it's contagious. Remember, we all agree, because I saw every head in this room shake in the beginning when I said attributes are built in your environment. And everybody was like, yeah. What you building? Huh? What you reproducing? What's all them little employees and all your little kids about to be? Huh? That's on you. They're accountable to their decision. You're responsible for what you fed into them, though. Don't ever forget. We can shift accountability. I 100% agree. I'd wear a shirt all day that says accountability, but right underneath it would say responsibility. Right? So are you controlling then who you're allowing to impact your wisdom in life? Because if you're always running to the same source that makes you feel good about your decisions, but on the inside you're getting ripped wide open because you know they're not the right decisions, that's not the right people to allow the control button in your life to feed into you. Let me go ahead and stop that one right now. You will outgrow relationships as you grow through maturity and wisdom. You will outgrow certain relationships. There is no other way to say about it, because people will not become wise and mature with you at the same rate. And that's okay. Doesn't mean you forget about them, but they may not have the same position in their life than your life they once had. But you can still have a position in theirs to give into their life, which is key here. I'm not telling you to, whoo, no more relationship there. I'm smarter than that now. What good you do? You just left them behind. Why didn't you bring them with you and help them see where you're at now in life? Are you struggling in the area of wisdom, right? Are you struggling with where you're gaining knowledge from? Like I told you, my little nightstands, shoot, I've gotten about this high right now. I think I got another book being delivered today. My knowledge game's on point. No, reading does not lift my knowledge game, right? What I read through my mind, connect through my heart, and live out through my soul connects my knowledge game. It connects my wisdom game. I can read all the self-help books in the world. I can read everything that's got a cure for every anxiety and depression and everything you've ever imagined, because trust me, I've read them. Every little, you know, and today, you know, let me not forget, today is PTSD Awareness Day, right? And that's just not for war. That's for PTSD. You can have PTSD from many things. But what I do know, and the reason I'm bringing it up, is because it's not the self-help books that's going to fix you. They can give you some knowledge to attain, but it's going to be the loyalty to the gospel and to live out God's word and to live through that rainy cloud to become healed. Because I would never been squeezed in my life like anxiety squeezed me. And my ego was to blame for most of it, because I just didn't want to be that person. That was, it didn't make sense. And a wise human being would say, like my wife, it don't make sense. You're right. But I don't know what's going on, right? But if you're struggling in that area, right, if it's knowledge, you know, if it's experience, whatever that may be, get yourself around people who are going to feed into your life. Open the word. Proverbs is a great one. It is a great book of the Bible to start. Great book of the Bible. You can gain saying, if you, let me be careful what I'm going to say here. But if you lived out Proverbs, you probably live a pretty good life for the gospel right there. If you just lived out Proverbs alone, never opened up any other chapters in the Bible, it'd be pretty amazing. Like, my goodness, wow, I have a controlled tongue. Somebody comes blasting you in your face. It's okay, my brother. Walk in peace. You know, all of a sudden, like, dang, man, look at this guy, right? But it's reality, man. It's reality. And all these things to me, man, I think people get confused sometimes. Like, you know, God's word is like, oh, you know, but a calm tone. You can't be calm. God already knows. He knows everything. He knows all you two are going to do is yep, 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 and get nothing done. But if one shows love, one shows grace, it's a game changer. If you read marital issues across the globe, it will say one partner trying, one partner, even if the other partner is done with that partner, it says one partner fully committed has an 80 to 90% chance for a turnaround within the relationship, right? And that's how I look at a calm tongue. A calm tongue can change the world, right? The one who can walk out in the midst of chaos and it's just, what's going on, guys? Come on. You're right. Come on back, man. It's like, wow, man, what a gift. It is a gift from God. It's a calm tongue. It's right here in Proverbs. Understand your worldview, and we're about to land this plane, I think. Understanding your worldview, right? Realize, man, your worldview is how you're going to view it all. And if you allow that worldview to be conformed by many things outside the gospel, you are running the risk of being way off the beaten path and living a school of hard knocks, right? And when it comes down to that time, I hope you do pray. But do not pray and ask God to fix these things. Pray and ask God to fix your soul, right? Do not ask God to change your circumstances, but help change your soul, to change your decisions that have put you in this school of hard knocks. I've done some bad things in my life, been in some bad places. Let me go ahead and tell you, no human being alive is responsible except myself. It's me. And I will deal with that judgment when it becomes time. But until that time, I can now at least show you the grace and love that I was given to be where I am today, not in the school of hard knocks, because I don't have a bad day now. I've been given another day. Let's ride it out. The best life, we all search for it. We all want it. I want the best life possible. We usually equate it to fame, riches, finances, and knowing who knows me. Maybe that's part of your best life. I don't know. That's not for me to dictate. I'm not to dictate what salary you should make or shouldn't make. What I am here to tell you is if you want the best life, it's how you use every resource that was given to you. You can be a human being with a whole lot of money that does a whole lot of good. You can be a human being with a whole lot of money that don't do any good. That's your choice. But if you want the best life, it's in here. It gives you the left and right lateral limit. It'll give you the do's and the don'ts. It'll tell you what to do when it's bad. It'll tell you what to do when it's good. But what I know from wisdom, as we wrap it up, wisdom is a gift from God. How you use that gift is going to be on you. But realize that all the people around us, we're helping them or hurting them in their attainment of wisdom and that gift, and to continue to grow that gift. So we should be charged with the task to realize it is very important for us to understand the beauty of the gospel, the correctness of the gospel, so that our worldviews are not skewed by society and by high popular demand, because I don't really care what you agree with on the political aspect. That thing looks like this over the course of history. Oh, you believe this? Watch this. Now my party believes this. Watch this. That's not where our stakes at in the game. It's human beings. They're all flawed, just like you and me. But the gospel's never wavered. It's been the same from A1, day one, with the same outcome. Can't kill a man that's got eternal life. Can't bring a man down that's got eternal life. What you gonna do to him? What you gonna do to her? Greatest gift has ever been attained. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to take communion. We'll sing another song. Heavenly Father God, thank you for today. Thank you just for the opportunity where we can live in your words, saturate in your words, Heavenly Father, and just continue to become one with you, God. I pray for our hearts, our minds, and our souls, Heavenly Father. We continue to connect them through into your word, God. May we not be swayed by fads. May we not be swayed by what is popular, but may we be swayed by the gospel and eternal life, Heavenly Father. May we preach that message every opportunity we can, God. I am thankful for this room that we get to call our church home on Sunday mornings. Heavenly Father, may we be that beacon of light Monday through Saturday that we are here on Sunday, God. As we prepare to take communion, Heavenly Father, we are forever grateful for the sacrifice that you made for us to be right here to continue to tell people about the gospel. I pray for each and every single person in this room. I pray for each and every soul in this room, Heavenly Father, that it may be touched today by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.